Case is Welluck Company v. United States,
the product as processed sunflower seeds. Why isn't 2008 more specific to that, because it talks about processed nuts and seeds rather than just general sunflower seeds?
The difference between heading 2008 and 1206 is heading 2008 is a not elsewhere or specified basket provision. We contend that heading 1206 does specify and include snacking seeds because it's a common commercial meaning. So yes.
So at some point you would agree that the imported product here plausibly falls under one or two different classifications.
Absolutely, yes.
So there's two classifications that are at odds with each other.
Yes.
Well, don't the rules of general interpretation say that when you have that type of situation, that the proper classification is, as Judge Hughes suggested, the classification that more specifically describes, that more narrowly describes the product?
Yes, Your Honor. GR3 does say that. We contend that the rule of relative specificity favors heading 1206 because there is no limitation in the tariff language. And
is your product not classifiable under 2008?
It is.
Okay. So you have subject merchandise in which you have a prima facie classification under both.
Yes, Your Honor.
So GRI 2A or 2B?
I don't follow, Your Honor.
If we have one where you have it classifiable under both, does GRI 2A apply or 2B?
I think that's the incomplete rule of interpretation. I thought it was under GRI 3.
Right. So they don't, right?
Right. Exactly. I'm sorry. Yes, they
don't. Okay. So then we go to GRI 3, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because neither is more or less specific.
Well, heading 1206 is more specific because it is the only ENOMINY provision for sunflower seeds in the tariff schedule. Okay. And it's limited to a narrow range of products, only sunflower seeds.
Okay. Is 2000, I'm sorry, is 6 more or less specific than 8? I'm trying to march you down a path.
6 is more specific than 8.
Okay. If they're equally specific, take me with this hypothetical.
Okay.
Do we go to 3C, at which point 2008 applies?
Possibly. I don't recall off the top of my head what 3C says. I apologize, Your Honor.
Okay.
Why do you say that 206 is more specific? 206 says sunflower seeds, so it generally captures, the basic product, the commodity here, a sunflower seed. But then when you look at 208, and you've acknowledged that these are two headings in which the product could be classified, and they're at odds with each other. And that justifies me now to depart from the ENOMINY rule and take a look at 208. And there it says fruit, nuts, and other edible parts of a plant. Well, a sunflower seed is an edible part of a plant. Then it goes on and says, otherwise prepared or preserved, whether or not containing added sugar or sweetening matter or spirit. And here, these seeds do contain flavoring. They contain a coconut flavoring. They contain spices. And so it seems to me this is getting a lot more specific than what I have under 206, especially if I take it down a little bit further where it speaks about seeds.
Yes, Your Honor, but the end of that tariff term heading also says not elsewhere specified or included, which, again, goes back to the 1206. Contend that the common commercial meaning wholly encompasses snacking seeds, which is why it's 1206. We also make a reference to heading 1202, which is the peanut provision, which specifically excludes roasted or otherwise cooked peanuts. There's a provision for soybeans and processed soybeans. There is no other ENOMINY provision for processed sunflower seeds.
So does a degree of processing have a play here?
Sure, yes.
And does it matter whether a seed is through its processing, rendered suitable to a particular purpose?
That's what general explanatory notes to Chapter 12 say. We contend that the trial court erred by relying on those explanatory notes to limit the tariff meaning of sunflower seeds.
Okay.
Finally, I just want to reiterate my point that Heading 1206 is unlimited and unambiguous ionomic provision. It includes all forms of the article. If Congress had intended to limit Heading 1206 like they did in Heading 1202, they would have done so, and would have, it did not. With that, any more questions, Your Honors, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court.
You're Mr. Vanderweide. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, Vanderweide, that's correct. Right. Well, there's a Dutch pronunciation, but it's much more. We could put that
to the side. You want me to try the Dutch?
Well, that's fun to write up, but you know, no one can pronounce that correctly.
Including the Dutch.
Well, yeah, that's true. May it please the Court, Your Honors. This Court should affirm the trial court's decision that the merchandise is properly classifiable in Heading 2008 and not 1206, because 2008 is the only provision that wholly describes and encompasses Wellix merchandise as a prepared snack food product of an edible part of a plant.
But if we take 1206 as covering all sunflower seeds, doesn't it fall within that?
Normally, an AO nominee provision covers all forms of an article. But this court has long held that contrary legislative intent can remove an article from an otherwise AO nominee provision. And here, we see that contrary legislative...
Under what conditions can we do that? Or what circumstances?
Under circumstances, if go all the way back to Newcomb packing.
Because you do agree with your opponent that when we start out with an AO nominee classification, and in this case, sunflower seeds, then the general path of interpretation is to stop there.
But there can be exceptions to either limiting language for an AO nominee provision, granted there's not here, to sunflower seeds, whether or not broken, or there could be an adverse judicial decision, an administrative practice, an adverse commercial designation.
You haven't cited those.
We don't have those, but we do have we do have contrary legislative intent here. And that legislative intent is manifest in multiple ways. One way is the structure of the tariff itself that Congress enacted, whereas less processed goods are in earlier chapters, and as the goods become more and more practiced, they go into later chapters.
What makes the tariff schedules unique, and the tariff schedules are a statute.
Yes.
What makes them unique is that Congress has provided, within the tariff schedules, the rules of interpretation.
Yes.
And you're asking us to abandon those rules of interpretation.
We're not asking to abandon the rules of interpretation. We believe that this merchandise can be classifiable under GRI-1. And this merchandise is not covered by the by 1206 because Congress has saw fit that once an edible part of the seed has been processed, let's just say pressed into oil, now it's no longer a seed of Chapter 12. Now it's a good of Chapter 15. It's now a new article for tariff purposes.
Wait, are you saying processed sunflower seeds are different than sunflower seeds?
Yes, because the sunflower seeds and all of the Chapter 12 goods, these are raw or minimally processed goods. They could be put to a variety of uses. You could put them in the ground to seed.
How do we know that? 1206 says sunflower seeds, whether or not broken.
But that provision must be read in conjunction with the rest of the tariff statute, which is 2008. We can't disregard 2008. It's part of the same tariff regime.
Your opposing counsel conceded that at a GRI 1 level that it was equally likely one or the other, mm-hmm. and that you had to go further. So that's your answer.
I think that's a possible path, but I still think under GRI 1 that the trial court reached the right decision here, because when we look at 2008 and 1206 in conjunction with each other, if we include all forms of an article in sunflower seeds under Chapter 12, then what's the point of having Chapter 20? Because all processed or all prepared sunflower seeds or fruits or edible or nuts or legumes, they would all go under Chapter 8 or Chapter 12. Nothing would go under Chapter 20. So Congress saw fit to have Chapter 20 to include products such as these, which are processed and prepared edible parts of plants. We can't read out Chapter 20 and 2008. There has to be a dividing line there. So we need to look at 1206 with 2008, the structure of the tariff. And the general EN just corroborates this by further clarifying.
Are there other provisions in Chapter 12 that so generally cover other fruits or nuts that might go under 2008 without exception, like sunflower seeds?
Well, there's
pretty much the peanut one that your friend refers to is much different. It has specifics and it has specific exclusions.
It has specific inclusions. The World Customs Organization said that that language was confusing. Why is that here and not in other provisions? It wasn't precisely drafted and consistent through the rest of the chapter.
Is there another provision like the sunflower seed provision, which says sunflower seeds? Is there a provision that says walnuts?
There in 2008, I believe, or in Chapter 20, I believe there are some AO nominee provisions of worked up articles such as, you know, soybeans and nuts. You know, peanut butter is in Chapter 20 because it's been processed to the point that it's no longer a Chapter 12 good. Here, we don't have a specific AO nominee provision in 2008.
No, I was really asking the other question. Is there anything in Chapter 12 that so broadly covers a specific type of nut or fruit that is then covered later in yes. Chapter 20 in a process form?
Yes.
Or is sunflower seeds the only one like that?
Peanuts, all of the provisions.
Well, peanuts doesn't help you because peanuts has got a lot of it. But then explanatory language.
Soybeans. There's soybeans as well.
And what does that say?
And so in soybeans, I believe it just says, I don't have the tariff right in front of me, but soybeans is provided under Chapter 12. And again, it's provided under Chapter 20 as well, as processed, as worked up. So there's always the case of where there's the unprocessed versions, which are in Chapter 8 or 12, depending if it's a fruit or a nut or a legume. And then in Chapter 20, there's the processed version. So there's a dividing line there, and that dividing line is the processing that a seed or a legume or a nut or a fruit undergoes.
So do you think the court followed the correct path here when the court looks and finds 206, it's an AO nominee provision, but then in order to establish a commercial meaning of the imported product, because the court has to look at customs has to actually look at what's being imported here.
Absolutely,
and it's clear on the face of the imported product that the bags of the imported product say coconut flavored sunflower seeds. So would it be correct then to go, oh, these are just sunflower seeds, where there's another provision that potentially refers to processed seeds for the process?
Yeah, I think there's been no uniform commercial designation of sunflower seeds that's been established here because there's multiple industries of sunflower seeds. There's for sowing purposes, for what we may colloquially call sunflower seeds if we go into a store and buy them off the rack and chew them and call them sunflower seeds. But that doesn't make those sunflower seeds for tariff purposes of 1206. There's no uniform commercial designation here.
Let me take you away from the CIT's analysis, and I'll take you along the same lines I took opposing counsel.
Sure.
And that is, if do 2A or if we go past 1, do 2A or 2B apply?
No.
Okay. So that if they don't, is 1206 more or less specific than 2008?
2008 is more specific
okay.
than 1206, and
right.
I could provide Your Honor reasons for that.
But if they're equally specific, doesn't 2008 apply pursuant to 3C?
If we get to 3C, then it's the last. Then it's the higher in the tariff.
I'm walking you through my draft. You know.
So 2008 is clearly higher than 1206. Yes, but I believe we win on GRI 1. If we get to GRI 3, I believe we win as well. Because under 1, you can't have a product that's prima facie classifiable as both the raw materials themselves and then a wholly new manufactured product that sure may include the raw materials, but has undergone a process, has added ingredients, that now...
But if it's equally arguable, then you have to go down through, march through.
And if we march through and we get to 3, we get to 3A, 2008 is a much more specific provision. The standard that this court has articulated is look at the provision with the requirements that are more difficult to satisfy and describe the article with the greatest degree of accuracy.
Right.
And it's much more difficult to satisfy 2008 because it includes a process that an edible part of a plant
and they're
must
cooked,
undergo.
They're cooked to the point where you can't use them for the...
You can't do anything else with them other than eat them. You can't put them in the ground. You can't turn them into oil. And all of the Chapter 12 goods are those goods that have that fungible nature that can be rendered... They could be put to any use. It doesn't matter what use they're put up for, but they could be put to any use. They could be put to eating, oil,
sure.
Livestock meal, whatever.
You can take the earlier chapter sunflower seeds, put them in the oven, put salt on them, and you have roasted sunflower seeds.
That's right. And they're cooked to the point where it's just you can't use them for germination, sowing, or anything else. So at that point, now we have a new article for tariff purposes. And that new article is specifically provided in 2008. Are there any other questions that Your Honors would like me to address?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Gibbons, you have 5 minutes.
5 minutes. All right, sir. Your Honors, sunflower seeds have been eaten in the United States for some 3,000 years. The USDA in our appendix has, it says that and talks about the history of sunflower seeds. So what we're trying to figure out here today is why an unambiguous, unlimited term called sunflower seeds does not include sunflower seeds that have been eaten in the United States for 3,000 years.
Maybe the commercial, it's because the commercial meaning of the imported product is not just sunflower seeds,
could
it's
be.
Coconut-flavored sunflower
could
seeds.
Could be. Let's look at the judge's rationale. The judge looked at dictionary definitions. She says definitions, but only cited one dictionary. And looked up, she parsed the tariff term, which is sunflower seeds, and looked up sunflower and looked up seeds. And sunflower, what she found was it's pretty large.
Same question I asked everybody, and that is, if we think they're equally likely, we have to march through the HTSUS, and doesn't that take us to 3A?
No, sir. Because this says, she looked up sunflower, and she looked up seed. And when she looked up seed, she saw that it's for sowing. And she looked over at the encyclopedia and other industry sources, including the USDA, that we cited. And she said, well, the plaintiff in that case said that his rationale is that sunflower seeds are both for general use, that's sowing and oil extraction and whatever else we can think of, plus they're for snacking.
Are the items in 2008 sunflower seeds?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, am I hearing
you? Oh, I'm sorry. We're in the same boat.
mine were left.
Are the items in 2008 sunflower seeds?
There is no sunflower seed in 2008. There's no specification. That word doesn't appear in 2008.
Yeah.
It does not appear.
It says edible parts of plants.
Oh, but sunflower seeds doesn't appear.
No, and, but are they sunflower seeds?
Are edible parts of, yes, they are.
Right.
But that's a basket provision, and these are sunflower seeds. Let me finish the statement. She looked at this and she found that our definitions, the ones that we provided, contain sunflower seeds of general use. That's what she wants in this end of our argument. And they were for snacking seeds. So we call snacking seeds confectionery seeds. It's one and the same. Then she says from that fact that this definition that we propose is different from hers, and she found, because hers is for sowing, she went to the explanatory notes. She couldn't go to the explanatory notes, and you can't go to the explanatory notes, which confuse things unless you have ambiguity. She found ambiguity in comparing her definition of a parsed part of the term with our definition. And then she went over there and she found, well, and we got into all this further discussion, but the fact is she shouldn't have gone to the explanatory notes because there was no ambiguity. She didn't look
maybe,
up the term.
How about the fact that these seeds, let's say you have a pack of unprocessed, raw, basic sunflower seeds, then those could conceivably be 1206 for human use in shell. But these are not. These are coconut flavored.
That's right.
And they're further processed.
That's right, John. And most sunflower seeds, if you go out down in the store downstairs, you buy sunflower seeds, they're flavored and sugar and salt because they're more tasty and people eat them better, quicker. She said that the snacking seed is not included in the sunflower seed provision. And we've been eating them for 3,000 years. How did she get there? She went there by going to the explanatory notes that talk about 2008, and they take you off in different directions. As my colleague said, in 1202, you have a whole lot of provisions. Every one of those, except sunflower seeds, has some other provision where he goes if it's processed. So that's our argument.
Okay.
She went and confused the issue, and she shouldn't have.
All right. Thank you. I think we have that argument.